Today for our study, we're going to look at Matthew 17 and just four verses, 24 to 27. Matthew 17, 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children, or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. This is one of the most unique miracles in the Bible. This is the only miracle, apart from his own resurrection, the only miracle the Lord did for himself. It was the only miracle that involved providing money. We never read of the Lord having money. He had nothing in this world. And it was the only miracle that the Lord did for Peter on his own and not together with the other disciples. It was the only miracle where the actual miracle is not recorded. The Lord said what will happen when he goes fishing, but the actual event is not recorded in the Bible what happened. But we know it happened. When we look at these few verses, there are many lessons about the Lord here. In verse 24, it tells us they came to Capernaum. This was the hometown of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 4:13 tells us why it was the hometown of the Lord Jesus. It says, And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Because Nazareth, they tried to kill him. In Matthew 9:1, it is called his own city. And this was to fulfill scripture. For in Matthew 4, if you go back, it tells us in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 4, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Yeah. So the reason why the Lord moved to Capernaum was because it was a place where there were Gentiles and Jews mixed together. Galilee is known as the Galilee of the Gentiles, because the quotation is that we read is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And here in verse 15 it says, Galilee of the Gentiles. And so it's showing a picture of what will happen when the Lord Jesus is ultimately rejected by the whole nation and they crucify him. After his resurrection, he will go out to the nations and the gospel came to us. But when you read the Old Testament quotation, there's one difference. In verse 2 of Isaiah 9, it says, The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. But here it says, in verse 16, The people which sat in darkness saw great light. So the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the scriptures, can change the quotation, because he can change it to show some new truth. 700 years before, they were walking in darkness. Now, 700 years later, they are sitting in darkness. What it's showing us is the people had become so sinful, so hard-hearted, they were just sitting and happy to be sitting in darkness. They were unconcerned that the shadow of death was upon them. Like so many sinners today, who have no concern at all, and they're happy to sit in the darkness they are in. But it says the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And the great light was the Lord Jesus himself. And it says, To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Matthew's gospel was written to show that the Jews rejected their Messiah and the gospel would now go to the Gentiles. It's Matthew's gospel that tells us about the church. I will build my church, the Lord Jesus said. And that's why Matthew shows these things. So the Lord began his ministry in the most scorned and despised place in the nation, which was Galilee of the Gentiles. The Jews despised that place. And that is a lesson for us, that when we serve the Lord, It should be in the most despised place, amongst the most despised people. I was having gospel meetings one day in London, and there was a troublemaker who came in every day. He had just come out of prison after 18 years. He had taken an axe, and he had tried to kill his friend, and it went into the friend's head, but he lived. And so they put him in jail for attempted murder. But while he was in prison, he was reading the Bible. And he never became saved, but he thought he knew better than all the Christians what the Bible says. And he was a drunkard. And so he would come with his bottle of drink and keep drinking in the meeting and interrupting the message, rolling around on the floor and shouting while I'm preaching the gospel. And when I spoke about the cross, he shouted out, "Kill those soldiers." After 4, 5, 6 days of this, one of the elders became so fed up. He said, "Why can't the Lord send us good sinners?" You can see that sounds funny, because there is really no good sinners at all. But you know, the Lord wants us to reach everybody, even such people. We prayed for the Lord to send in the sinners, and the Lord sent this fellow in. There are people who work amongst such drunks and drug addicts, and we must really pray for them, because it's a hard work, but they do see blessing. So the Lord began his ministry amongst those who are so despised by the other Jews. The tribute money collectors came. As they returned to Capernaum, the tax collectors were waiting for them. It says they came to Peter, so they looked for him, and they questioned him. Now, what is this tax? Well, it was collected 1 month before the Passover. And so it shows what happened here in chapter 17 was 1 month before the death of the Lord Jesus. And we see that the Lord Jesus had no money at all, even to pay the temple tax. It's interesting that Matthew mentions this story in none of the other Gospels. It is obvious why. First of all, he himself was a tax collector once. And secondly, he is speaking about Jesus as the king. So he's showing that Jesus does not have to pay tax, because he is the son of the king, the son of God. He is the true king of Israel, the king of kings. He does not need to pay tax. And so the tribute money was known as the drachma. That's the money, drachma. Meaning, here the word is double drachma. It was a silver coin worth about one and a half shekel. About 2 days' wages in AD 70. That was the value of it. Now, this collecting of money started in Exodus, chapter 30 and 14. "Everyone that passeth among those that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give the heave offering of Jehovah. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel." And in chapter 38 of Exodus and verse 27, this money was used to make the silver sockets for the boards of the tabernacle. So it was like a collection for the building fund. And Peter refers to this when he says that we are not redeemed with silver and gold. Nehemiah speaks about this collection. Chapter 10, verse 32. "Also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God." Also in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, there's a reference to collecting money for the upkeeping of the temple. And so the temple had to be maintained, and the tabernacle had to be maintained. So every year the Jews had to pay this money for the temple. Just as we have a collection on Sunday morning, some goes for the Lord's work, another goes for the payment of the electricity and the decoration and maintenance of the building we meet in. So the Jews gladly gave this money because they were proud of their temple. And so Peter said yes in verse 25. He had very quickly forgotten what happened at the beginning of the chapter. Just a few days before, he had seen Jesus transfigured, and his glory, his deity and his kingdom was seen on that mountain. So as he had seen the Lord Jesus as King of Kings, as he will come in his millennial kingdom, he quickly forgot the glory of the Lord Jesus and put him on the same level as any other man and said, yes, he will pay temple tax. So it says, when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. That means to anticipate, to go before him. The Lord spoke to him before he could speak. Now in these verses that follow, we see the glory of the Lord Jesus, his deity is manifested. First of all, we see the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus. Omnipresence, he is everywhere. He was there watching Peter speaking with those tax collectors. He knew what he said. He heard what he said, for he was present there as God. He said, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers? Custom is what you pay on, you know, exported and imported items. And tribute was a tax that the, you know, people had to pay. Now, in those days, and also today in many countries, the ruler takes money from the people for the maintenance of his own family and his kingdom. In the United Kingdom, some people complained, so even the queen has to pay tax. But ideally, the ruler does not have to pay tax. They are the one receiving the money. And they surely do not take money from their own children, they take money from their subjects. In chapter 12, in verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. He had already declared he is greater than the temple. If the Lord Jesus is the Son of the King, he has no need to pay the temple tax, for he is greater than the temple. He doesn't have to be paying money to himself if he paid the temple tax. Verse 26, Peter saith unto him, of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Here we see the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. Then are the children free. As the Son of God, he was free from paying tax. It was his Father's house. It was the temple belonged to him. It'd be like charging yourself rent to live in your own house. And so we learn this. In verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Not everyone understood that he is the Son of God. Not everyone understood that the temple belonged to his Father. Though he could have insisted he does not need to pay, he did not insist, and he paid lest he should stumble them. He didn't want anyone to think that he's teaching that no one should pay for the upkeep of his Father's house. Paul said that we should do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 10 and 32 and 33. He says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And Peter wrote later on that in 1 Peter